Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, November 2nd, 2017. We will begin today's reading with the article headlined, BPD Cybercrimes Unit Combats Internet Offenses, by Edith Brady Lunny. Bloomington. Staying one step ahead of those who use their skills to steal from strangers and victimize children is the focus of the Bloomington Police Department's Cybercrimes Unit. Detective Josh Schwarzentruber told an audience at Tuesday's BPD focus group that the two-man unit investigates a wide range of crimes involving computers, cell phones, and other devices. Computer crimes are no longer just crimes committed against other computers or networks, said the detective. Schwarzentruber, who also works with the U.S. Secret Service Cybercrimes Task Force, estimated that 85% of his time is spent on child pornography and other crimes that victimize minors. Schwarzentruber's partner, Detective Bill Lynn, shares his time with the FBI unit investigating computer-related offenses. Child pornography cases can take up to a year to investigate, said Schwarzentruber, because of the voluminous amount of material stored on hard drives seized by police. The majority of the child pornography cases are handled by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Peoria, where federal prosecutors have the ability to seek harsher sentences, according to the detective. Training never ends for detectives who investigate cybercrimes. Our daily life is spent reading and researching what we need to do to stay ahead of the bad guys, Schwarzentruber told the audience. Police Chief Brendan Hefner said the city budget includes about $25,000 annually for training for Lynn and Schwarzentruber. The specialized training has been used to help other local police agencies that don't have the tools to investigate complex internet crimes, said Hefner. Several residents expressed concern that their personal information and credit card data could be compromised. Detective advised them to only use a Wi-Fi connection that's secured with a password to avoid others from accessing information and check that internet links to banks are secure. Schwarzentruber shared his own experience of having his credit card compromised by a person in Tampa, Florida. Further theft was halted after the credit card company called the detective to verify the breach. The theft of credit card numbers is a problem that goes beyond the U.S., but a few precautions can protect consumers, said the detective. Restaurants that offer credit card transactions to be handled by customers on a device at the table or complete the payment process in clear view of customers limits the chance that a theft or skimming of the card will occur. Cell phones are a major source of information for police in all sorts of crimes. Cell phones are little computers, said Schwarzentruber, that allow police to retrieve messages, texts, phone records, and documents related to a crime. The Cybercrimes Unit supporters the Criminal Investigation Division on cases involving deaths, drugs, identity theft, fraud, and infiltration of bank accounts. Cell phone data also play a major role in domestic violence cases, said the detective, if there are records of conversations between the victim and offender. Among the cases where the unit has supplied information to prosecutors is the homicide investigation into the death of Pam Zimmerman in Bloomington. Detectives collected information from suspect Kirk Zimmerman's car that allegedly shows where he traveled after his former wife was killed in November 2014. The next story is headlined, Council to Discuss City Officials' Roles at Retreat, by Maria Nagel. Bloomington. The roles of elected city officials will be discussed at the City Council's Fall Retreat Saturday, an issue the council addressed a year ago, but was raised again 2 weeks ago when six aldermen chastised Mayor Terry Renner for bringing disgrace to our governing body. I am very hopeful that we will make great progress at this retreat in working together and moving our city forward on many crucial fronts, Renner told the Pantograph in a text message Wednesday, adding, The main point is that we do a better job of understanding our respective positions within our current system. While noting there are many different city manager forms of city government, Renner said Bloomington's has an empowered mayor with broad appointment, veto, and line item veto powers. The council's fall retreat will be 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Den at Fox Creek Golf Course, 3002 Fox Creek Road. The agenda calls for discussion and exercises on council priorities and procedures and officials' roles and responsibilities. Some budget planning matters also are on the agenda. The council will not be voting on any matters. I look forward to a retreat that clarifies our focus, builds a stronger partnership with our staff, and provides a roadmap towards meeting our priorities and addressing our structural deficit, said Ward 6 Alderman Karen Schmidt. Schmidt and Alderman Jamie Mathey, Ward 1, David Sage, Ward 2, Mboka Mbambwe, Ward 3, Joni Painter, Ward 5, and Diana Howman, Ward 8, signed and presented a letter to Renner at the council's October 23rd meeting that stated Renner's treatment of people with whom he disagrees violates the shared values of the city council. As elected officials, we are called upon to represent the citizens with respect and civility, the letter stated. Whether you, Renner, did so as an individual or as the mayor, your recent interactions do not demonstrate respect or integrity. Attached to the letter was a list of official and unofficial roles and responsibilities for the mayor and aldermen that the council endorsed by consensus at its two-day retreat in November 2016. It called for effective communication, civility, respect, and cooperation within the city government and with the public. It also called for more efficient use of city staff and officials' time and resources, including a provision that an alderman or mayor must get the signatures of the ordinance-required number of council members before filing a request for the city staff to pursue an initiative. That provision was not included in a similar list provided in the council's packet of materials for Saturday's meeting. Communication exercises the council participated in at last year's retreat were not listed for Saturday. Another discussion about building trust won't make a difference, said Painter, adding the retreat should focus on hammering out the priority-based budgeting process so everyone is reading from the same page when we discuss the budget. Renner said it's important for council members to stay in closer contact to avoid misunderstandings and be sure we work more closely together. This includes promptly returning phone calls or texts, etc. I look forward to hearing what specific suggestions the council has as well. Diane Crutcher, Vice President of the Center for Performance Development, Incorporated, will facilitate this year's retreat, which she also did last year. The mayor's office is the subject of an ongoing Illinois State Police investigation. The specifics of the investigation are unclear, but the probe was launched after Renner blasted critics who raised questions about the use of a city credit card to buy an airline ticket for Renner's partner for a sister city event in August. The $1,836 cost of the ticket was reimbursed before the state police investigation started. Renner returned October 1st after a 5-week leave of absence from his mayoral duties because of unspecified medical-related reasons. Here's a story headlined, Bowman Named Director of State Higher Ed Board, by Lenore Sabota. Bloomington. Al Bowman, Illinois State University President Emeritus, was named Wednesday the Executive Director of the Illinois Board of Higher Education. The challenges facing higher education in Illinois mirror, for the most part, what's going on nationally, said Bowman, 64. That includes competition for state tax dollars. A number of states across the country are seeing a reduction in support, he said. However, Illinois faces additional challenges. The Midwest is seeing a slight decrease in the pool of 18-year-olds, which compounds another problem, said Bowman. We have for many years been a major exporter of students. Bowman succeeds James Applegate, who stepped down from the post in February after 3 years on the job. He served as ISU president from 2003 to May 2013. He came to ISU in 1978 as a faculty member in the Department of Speech Pathology and Audiology, now known as the Department of Communication Sciences and Disorders. He later served as department chair and interim provost before becoming president, and also served as co-chairman of the Education Policy Committee on Governor Bruce Rauner's transition team after Rauner's election in 2014. Bowman called the new position a real good fit, not only with my campus experience, but my knowledge of higher education trends. Among the keys to addressing Illinois' challenges are keeping college accessible and affordable, providing more budgetary stability, and emphasizing the importance of post-secondary education and training, according to Bowman. One of the messages I plan to carry forward to the governor and legislature is that, while the number of dollars is important, even more important is stability and predictability, so colleges and universities can plan, said Bowman. Among tasks in which Bowman will be involved is the current update of the board's strategic plan, Illinois Public Agenda for College and Career Success. The IBHE oversees the state's system of colleges and universities. Its duties include planning and policy development, budget responsibilities, grant programs, and program reviews. There are 35 employees in its Springfield office. Bowman said he was approached about becoming executive director by Tom Cross, chair of the 15-member board. Cross is a former state representative and House Republican minority leader with whom Bowman had met numerous times working on appropriations for ISU. Cross praised Bowman's strong commitment to excellence in undergraduate and graduate education, as well as access and affordability. At the time he retired as ISU president, Bowman cited health problems, but he said Wednesday that he is in good health and it wouldn't be a problem in his new position. In retrospect, I wasn't ready to retire at age 60, he said. He will be paid $150,000 as executive director, which allows him to continue to collect the pension he receives for his more than 30 years of working at ISU. Applegate's salary was $200,000. Bowman and his wife Linda will continue to live in Bloomington while he commutes to Springfield. Since retiring as president, Bowman has been teaching one course each fall at ISU without compensation. He is wrapping up an 8-week seminar course he has been teaching at ISU and said he will not be teaching as long as he is the IBHE's executive director. He has signed a 1-year contract. The next story is entitled, ARC Users Outside of Town May Pay More, by Derek Bay. Normal. Bloomington residents could soon pay more to use Normal Township's popular Activity and Recreation Center, ARC. Officials are considering hiking fees early next year to cover rising costs, and they've targeted out-of-township users who pay the same annual membership fees as Normal residents, even though Normal residents also pay township property taxes that fund the facility. Last year, City of Bloomington Township, a separate unit of government that overlaps with the city, paid $40,000 to Normal Township, a separate unit of government that overlaps with the town, to offset the difference in taxes, and it will again this fall. But Normal Township officials sought to double that annual payment. When the City of Bloomington Township balked, Normal Township decided to target user fees instead. Individuals pay $30 per year to use ARC at 600 East Willow Street, and couples pay $50. Officials have discussed increasing those rates to $60 and $110, respectively, for Bloomington customers, and $80 and $150, respectively, for residents of areas outside either township. An increase of some kind was needed to continue running the facility without increasing Normal Township taxes for 2018, said Supervisor Sarah Grammer. We're trying to offset some of the operating costs and do that without increasing taxes, she said. The membership fee is very low, especially for those outside the township not paying the additional taxes. Costs to run the center, like membership totals, have exceeded expectations since the senior center moved from 1110 Douglas Street in April 2016. About 4,000 customers use the center, 40% of whom are from Bloomington, said center officials. Members must be at least 55 years old. Normal Township residents are on the hook for a special tax levy to raise $1.8 million for the facility and paid property taxes toward the $600,000 purchase of the former Illinois State University Student Recreation Building in 2013 and a $4.2 million remodeling project prior to opening. The Township's Senior Advisory Committee will discuss the fees on Thursday. The next Township Board meeting is 8:15 a.m. November 16th at 304 East Mulberry Street. The Township also is seeking a new member for the Senior Advisory Committee to represent Normal Township. Normal residents can apply through November 8th by sending a letter of interest to the Township. The next article is entitled, County to Help Inspect Liquor Licensees. Sheriff's Department Partners with State to Cut Backlog of Checks, by Kevin Barlow. Bloomington. The McLean County Sheriff's Department soon will be conducting inspections for 141 liquor license holders as part of a pilot program intended to cut a backlog for such checks at the Illinois Liquor Control Commission. The McLean County Sheriff's Department, which is one of 64 participating agencies in the state's LC-13 project, will be paid $75 for each completed inspection by the commission, which also pays for training local inspectors. The State Liquor Commission is behind on inspections because it does not have enough qualified staffers to inspect every licensee each year, said spokesman Terry Horstman. The Liquor Inspection Pilot Program is a state and municipal partnership with McLean County that aims to better allocate alcohol beverage compliance resources, which the ILCC believes will lead to better annual inspection coverage while utilizing existing state resources, Horstman said. Six McLean County Sheriff's deputies completed 8 hours of classroom training under the agreement, and inspections will begin soon, said Sheriff John Sandage. They will cover all liquor licensees in the county outside of the city of Bloomington, which will conduct its own inspections. We will get all 141 places inspected at least once, he said. Bloomington officials did not return calls seeking comment on the city's role, if any, in the program. The agreement, which is funded by existing Liquor Commission resources, will expire June 30, 2018, Savage said. At that time, we will see how the program has worked here and in other places, he said. We will decide what to do at that point. The McLean County Board approved the proposal in July. Sandage said the inspections, which would take 20 to 30 minutes each, could be handled with current staff during current hours with no overtime. We have talked with other counties, and so far it has worked pretty well, he said. Inspections include health and sanitation issues, verification of liquor licenses and insurance coverage, and compliance with state laws and local ordinances. Investigators are required to report their findings to the State Commission, which may result in further action. Other Central Illinois Sheriff's Departments that are participating include Ford, Livingston, Logan, Macon, Piatt, Tazewell, and Woodford counties. Here's a story entitled, McLean County Nears Employee Buyout Goal, by Derek Bay. Bloomington. The McLean County government is near its goal for employee buyouts to reduce its 2018 budget. County Administrator Bill Wasson said 15 workers have volunteered as of Wednesday to take early retirement, helping officials address a $1.5 million budget shortfall and avoid laying off 20 to 25 employees. Though most of the retiring employees have not been identified for privacy reasons, Wasson revealed Judy Brucker is among them because that means the county will need to hire a new executive director for its Children's Advocacy Center. Some of the volunteering employees have submitted early retirement paperwork in the last week, so they could still opt to change their minds, said Assistant State's Attorney Don Knapp. Officials hoped 10 to 20 of about 70 eligible employees would take a combination of cash and future health insurance coverage to retire early, allowing the county to eliminate their positions or fill them with lower-paid replacements. About 20 jobs will be cut overall. The county also is freezing wages and hiring. Wasson said he hopes the county's employee unions for corrections, dispatch, and highway employees will agree to forego annual raises in new contracts starting January 1st. Wasson said officials will create a 2018 county budget that works even if employees don't volunteer for early retirement, an outcome they won't know for sure until after the board approves the budget November 21st. The county is coping with drops in state funding and in locally generated revenue, including income and sales tax. The property tax rate is set to increase slightly as well, from 91.399 cents per $100 of equalized assessed valuation to 91.414 cents, costing the owner of a home valued at $165,000 another 9 cents per year. The staffing reductions we recommend will likely result in longer lines for service, expanded automated phone answering, and requirements for appointments for some types of county services, said Wasson in October. Wasson also recommended consolidating local election operations, which are handled by the Bloomington Election Commission and McLean County Clerk's Office, to a single agency to save money. Board Chairman John McIntyre has asked members to give him feedback on how to approach that process. The next story is headlined, Normal Police Seek Man in Counterfeit Money Incident, by Kevin Barlow. Normal. Police in Normal are hoping to identify a man who apparently used counterfeit $100 bills at Schnucks in Normal. He is described as 5 feet 2 inches to 5 feet 4 inches tall and weighing about 100 pounds and having very short hair, almost a shaved head. Police described the man as distinctive because of his height, slight build, and the fact that his eyes appeared to be cloudy, possibly because of cataracts. Police said he wore a dark jacket and jeans, but released no other physical details. Police said officials at Schnucks, 1750 North Bradford Lane, believe he is a regular customer, but have not seen him since this purchase and that he may live in the area. Anyone with information about this man is asked to call Detective Brad Park at 309-454-9527 or email him at bpark@normal.org. Crime Stoppers will pay cash rewards of up to $1,000 for information leading to the arrest and indictment of people who commit felony crimes in McLean County. Call 309-828-1111. And here's a story headlined, Teacher Looks to Oppose Brady, by Derek Bay. Normal. A university high school teacher who left the race for Congress last month now is seeking state office. Benjamin Webb, a Democrat and English teacher from Normal, is running to oppose State Representative Dan Brady, Republican of Bloomington, in 2018, he said Wednesday. The status quo isn't good enough. Social services, infrastructure, and local government have not been able to rely on the stability of Springfield. We need an advocate who will carry the concerns of our district to the Capitol, said Webb in a news release. Education is one of the greatest investments a society can make. Our future is brightest when we invest in our people through education. We cannot afford to have a government that has forgotten this. Webb spent the last few months campaigning against U.S. Representative Rodney Davis, a Taylorville Republican, and did not specify why he left that race. Several other challengers have emerged for the Democratic congressional nod, but Webb is the first challenger to Brady for the November general election. David Paul Blumenschein, a Republican and a Normal real estate agent, plans to oppose Brady in the March primary election. Brady, who has represented the Twin Cities in Springfield since 2001, has not been challenged in an election since 2006. He announced his candidacy for 2018 in September. Brady served as McLean County coroner from 1992 to 2000. He is a partner in the Kibler Brady Russman Memorial Home in Bloomington. Brady was the first Twin Cities state legislator to announce a run in 2018. State Representative Bill Mitchell, Republican of Forsyth, will retire, and Keith Summer, Republican of Morton, has not announced whether he'll seek re-election. Three Republicans and a Democrat, none local, have announced runs for Mitchell's seat. Bloomington Democrat Jill Blair and Bloomington Libertarian Chris Howick are running for Summer's seat. Seats held by State Senators Bill Brady and Jason Barrickman, both Bloomington Republicans, also will be on the ballot in 2018, but they have not announced re-election runs. Bill Brady and Dan Brady are not related. And here are some public safety items. The first one is entitled Burglary. A Bloomington man was sentenced to 6 years for burglary. Cedric Jones, 50, of the 1900 block of Tracy Drive, was convicted of the March 6th break-in at Gailey Eye Clinic in Bloomington. And another public safety item is entitled Cocaine. Drugs charges are pending against a 53-year-old Bloomington man. Cleve M. Murray of the 400 block of North Roosevelt Avenue was charged with 9 counts related to 3 drug transactions involving cocaine in Bloomington. He was jailed in lieu of posting $10,035. And here's an item from today's Daily Digest entitled Collection Set for Overseas Military. Pontiac. Livingston County Farm Bureau, Bank of Pontiac, and Pontiac and Fairbury Chambers of Commerce are collecting items to be sent to our military personnel. Contributions should be dropped off by November 10th. Needed items include hot chocolate, hot cider packets, jerky, dried meat or summer sausage, small boxes of crackers, cheese and crackers, canned fruit snack size, canned soup, tuna or chicken, canned or packets, trail mix, nuts, sunflower seeds, and cookies, packaged. Also, rice cereal treats, granola bars, protein bars, fruit snacks, dried fruit, instant oatmeal packets, Easy Mac packets, microwave or hearty canned soup, candy canes, Christmas hard candy, no chocolate, multivitamins, over-the-counter pain reliever, men's white or black crew work socks, T-shirts, brown, white, or tan, also batteries, AA and AAA, sweatpants, blanket throws, any type of suitable small gift, 8 to 12-inch artificial Christmas tree, ornaments, no glass, Christmas stockings, new men's magazines, handheld games, DVDs or CDs, disposable cameras. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for November 2nd. Please stay tuned.